This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We have a lot to get into in today's show. We will begin things with the Kansas City Royals. We'll have a random Royals lineup for you coming up momentarily, but let me give you an itinerary of what we have planned on today's show. Coming up in about 15 minutes, there have been a lot of changes in football since the last time that you and I got an opportunity to recap things. We'll go over that. The Tush Push will be back for another season. There is a major change in the college football playoff. We'll talk about that. And we are just basically rotating who the biggest contender to the Chiefs is going to be in the AFC West. Today, we'll land on the Denver Broncos. We'll talk about that coming up in just a bit. Aaron Ladd is in town. He is going to join us coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Very excited to be joined by him, and Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated will be on the show coming up in the 4 o'clock hour to go through some of the changes in the National Football League. We got a lot to get into. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you guys after a day off yesterday as the Royals won their series against the San Francisco Giants. The Royals have an off day today, so we'll get to the Royals coming up in a bit. But before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you guys to check out, or I need you to tell one friend about the show. It'd be great if you guys could tell two friends to check out the show, but you know what? Beggars won't be choosers. If you guys could simply tell one person to listen to the show, you know what? I would appreciate it. All right, so when I came into work today, Rob handed me three separate sheets of paper, and we are going to go over those sheets of paper. Number one, because I know this is a stat that you guys have been wondering. Rob looked up what the Royals' record is against teams that are over 500 so far this season. I would say that is normally a pretty big talking point on the text line. The Royals never beat anybody good. Why can I believe in them? Well, Rob looked up the numbers, and you know what? You might be right. You thought I was going to tell you were wrong. No, that is not what the numbers that Rob handed me. He told me that you guys might actually be right. Let me give you the numbers. The Royals this season have played 32 games against teams who are 500 or better. They are 13-19 in those games with a minus 35 run differential. Now, I think what the positive is, the Twins are also under 500 against those caliber of teams. The Guardians are exactly 500 against those teams. Now, the Tigers have been fantastic against teams who are over 500. The Tigers might be the best team in the American League. They are 17-11 in their 28 games against teams who are 500 or better. They have a plus 32 run differential. So if we are looking at this objectively in the first 51 games of the season, the Tigers are clearly the best team in the American League Central, and we'll see if they'll hold on to the American League Central crown. But we all know this. You don't need to win your division to make the postseason. You don't need to win your division in order to win enough games to qualify for the playoffs. And this is where I got more numbers for you. Last year at this time, there were 14 teams who were at 500 or better. All of these teams finished the season over 500. All of these teams were in playoff contention to the very end. Last year, out of those teams, 8 of those teams made the postseason. If you want to go back 2 years ago, there were 12 teams at the 50-game mark that were over 500. 9 of those teams made the postseason. If you want me to add up the numbers, I can do that for you. 17 of the 24 teams who were over 500 at the 50-game mark made the postseason. All of those teams finished the season with a winning record. They finished the year on average with 89 wins. I know it might not always feel this way about the Royals, and trust me, I get frustrated at the same things that you guys get frustrated in. We've been having these same offensive conversations about the Royals every day for about 2 months now. You and I are able to identify the same problems. Hunter Renfroe was an issue for this team in game one. He is still an issue for the Royals. Yesterday, we saw the best version of Salvador Perez that I think we've seen so far this season. Is that a turning point? Is that a spark to turning around his season? Obviously, we have to see how this plays itself out. But I do want us on this off day, and as they've played 50 games and have 110 games or so left, to just take a deep breath and acknowledge that the Royals are still on a very, very good pace. They are on average to win around 89 games. They are likely to once again compete and make the postseason and give themselves a chance at winning a World Series. Now, we'll see how the rest of the season goes. Is Vinny going to turn things around? Is Salvador Perez going to turn things around? When do they make changes at the back half of their lineup? Are the Royals going to be aggressive at the deadline? Are they going to go get Jack Caglione and add him to the offense? I'm not saying that there are no questions still about the Kansas City Royals, but as we have this off day with the Royals, we can acknowledge they are in a lot of ways ahead of schedule and still a team very much that is in the mix in the American League. A team that has not had its full range of offense. Its stars have not performed up to the level that we think they can. Right now, they got injuries in the rotation, and the Royals continue to tread water and give themselves a chance. I think the Royals are in a fine spot as we are heading into, I would say, the second quarter of the season, it feels like. As you get to Memorial Day, we're going to start to head into the dog days of summer. That feels like the next quarter of the season. It's then the push to the All-Star break, the push toward the trade deadline, and then you got August and September, and we'll see if the Royals can continue to prevail in that scenario. But again, on average, if you are at least over 500 at this point in the season, you win around 89 games, and you are very likely to make the postseason. So the Royals are still very much on schedule. They're still very much contenders in the American League. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk a little bit of football. There are a lot of news stories right now in football. There are changes to the college football playoff. They did not make changes to the NFL postseason. We will have the tush push from the Eagles for one more year. So a lot of stories. We'll get to those coming up in just a bit. But before we do any football, you guys already know the vibes. Hit it, Rob.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be.
Having a great time.
Today's Random Royals Lab takes us back to the year 2005, where at the 50-game mark, the Royals were 13-37. Here is today's Random Royals lineup. On a day the Royals did win, they actually beat the St. Louis Cardinals on this date in 2005.
I like that.
Leading off, the shortstop, Angel Baroa.
Of course they won this day. They had Angel Baroa hitting the leadoff for him. He probably went 3-for-5 with 2 homers.
Batting second, the center fielder, David DeJesus.
David DeJesus. No one loves David DeJesus more than you do.
When he goes, Kurt Nelson, I know you're listening. When he goes in the Royals Hall of Fame, get me on the field next to his wife because I am going to make it happen. He deserves to be out there.
Why is he not in the Royals Hall of Fame now? In fact, I don't think it's very positive for David DeJesus because now guys from the 14 and 15 Royals are going to start becoming eligible. And if they're only letting one person in a year, it don't look good for David DeJesus.
Batting third, the designated hitter, Mike Sweeney.
How did this team, how are they so bad?
Batting fourth, at first base, Matt Stairs.
Okay, I feel like this is where we're going to start getting the answer to that question.
Batting fifth, the right fielder, it's not a snack, it's Emil Brown.
What was Emil Brown hitting right now? Because he might be their best outfielder if he was on this team.
234.
He might be their best outfielder if he was on this team.
Batting sixth, the third baseman, Mark Tien. Batting seventh, the left fielder, Matt Diaz.
I've never heard of that man a day in my life. And I feel like I know this version of the Royals, I feel like I know.
Batting eighth, behind the plate, John Buck.
John Buck. We got him in the Carlos Beltran trade.
He actually homered on this date.
Of course he did.
And batting ninth.
1 year he led the Royals in home runs with 14.
Actually, let's Google if that was this year. But batting ninth, the second baseman, Ruben Gotay.
I remember him. I mean, I don't remember him, but I remember him.
The Royals got a strong pitching outing on this date from Ryan Jensen.
Oh, okay.
Who only gave up 2 over 5 innings and then got 3 shutout innings from now Juan Carlos Acevedo. At the time, I believe he had a different name.
He changed his name?
He was Leo Nunez.
Oh, I remember him. I remember Leo Nunez.
Yeah. And then Mike McDougal came on to clean it up as the Royals won on this date in 2005 over the St. Louis Cardinals 9-1.
Someone on the text line says, please don't disrespect Kyle Isbell. No, you're right. I apologize. Kyle Isbell has been very good this past month. I apologize. Emil Brown would be their second best outfielder. He has not been better than Kyle Isbell.
By the way, John Buck did not lead this team in homers. Mike Sweeney did with 21.
Buck, I'm not crazy. Third. John Buck did lead. One year he led the Royals in home runs with 14. I know I'm not crazy. Look that up for me. I know I'm not crazy. I know that that's accurate information. I would never come on here and knowingly spread fake news.
14 is such a low number. I'm not. All right. So
did you watch the Royals in 2007?
He had 18 1 year in Kansas City. Let's see.
Now that might be the year I'm thinking about. 18 might have led the Royals in home runs.
Scrolling over, home runs. He led the Royals in home runs in 2007 with 18.
Yeah, see, I wasn't that crazy. Okay, way, 14 was nuts, but 18, I mean, I wasn't that far off.
His numbers were weird this year. He had 18 homers and 48 RBIs.
And
a lot of solo shots.
And was their power hitter. And was the one driving the bus for the Royals.
Not a lot of offense on this team.
No, it's not good. Anytime your catcher leads you in home runs with 18 and less than 50 RBIs, it explains why they lost 100 games that season. Coming up on the other side, there's a lot of football news happening right now. We'll cover all of it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, friend of the show, Aaron Ladd, will be on in about 40 minutes or so. Really happy to have him join us on the show coming up in just a bit. All right, there is a lot of football news to get to. Let's start with the biggest football story this week, which is there was a meeting to determine the future of the Tush Push. Oh, arguments were had. Jason Kelce was there. Some people argued for it. Some people argued against it. But ultimately, it did not pass. Here's the latest from NFL.com.
Tush Push survives at least another season. NFL owners denying the Packers' proposal to ban the Tush Push. A final tally of 22-10, which, as Ian Rappaport points out, was the Eagles' score over the Packers in the wild card round of the playoffs this season, the divisional round, excuse me. And the Eagles, with their chests out, saying, push on, tweeting that out just moments ago. Jalen Hurts over center against those Green Bay Packers.
So these are the teams that voted against the ban of the Tush Push. Obviously, the Eagles, Ravens, Browns, Lions, Jaguars, Dolphins, Patriots, Saints, Jets, and Titans. Those were the teams that voted to keep the Tush Push. Now, I'm a little bit surprised at a couple of teams. Kansas City publicly has been very pro-Tush Push. I'm a little surprised that they voted against it. Pittsburgh was also another team that was pretty publicly. The Texans were another team pretty publicly that were pro-Tush Push. At least the coaches were. Now, who knows what happens behind the scenes? It doesn't really matter at this point. You are going to be able to do it for this upcoming season. Couple of things. I think we all can identify that this is the last season of the Tush Push. If they only need 2 more votes to get this thing passed, then they are in the red zone, so to speak. And another year of Jalen Hurts having 7 rushing touchdowns, another year of the Eagles run this play on first down, and then you stop it, and then they run it again on second down. It is going to make one of these teams or a handful of these teams rage quit and ultimately vote against the tush push. I told you guys this in the past. I'll repeat it again here. I don't know why the Eagles are not more interested in trying to find some form of a compromise with this play. I'm not against the tush push. I actually would have voted against banning it. Figure out a way to stop it. And it's obviously not impossible to stop. I mean, I just saw the AFC Championship game. I saw a team run it 5 times and they failed on 3 of those times. So it's not like every team that decides to run this play. No, what they're mad about is one team is better at it than everybody else. And to me, that's not enough information to want to ban the play. You can't prove to me that this play is unsafe, that it's harmful for the players, not any more than any of the other plays that they run. So to me, the feeling and sentiment behind why you would want to ban this play, it feels petty. It feels spiteful. But they got 22 of the possible votes. They needed 24. So over half the league doesn't think you should run this play anymore. They just didn't get the 75% that they need. If I'm the Eagles, I try to reach a peace offering and a compromise. You can run this play only in the red zone and on fourth down. On fourth down. If it's first and goal from the 3-yard line, run a real play. Call a play for Saquon Barkley. Throw it to A.J. Brown. Run an end around and a jet sweep to Devontae Smith. Throw it to Dallas Goedert. I don't care what you do. You just can't run this play. I mean, we change rules and find exemptions for things all the time. This is a very simple compromise, especially because one team, at least in running this play, has an overwhelming advantage. I don't have a problem with the tush push. I really don't have a problem with it. Yes, it is overpowered for one team. But why are we penalizing the Eagles for being better at something than everybody else is? That's not the spirit of competition. The spirit of competition is figuring out a way to stop it, or you run it and get better at it yourself. But no, you don't want to do that, huh? Buffalo ran that play as much as anybody in the league not named Philadelphia. Now they're against it. I'm guessing that Buffalo's going to run the tush push next year. If you're really against it and think that it's unsafe, then only one team in the league should run it. But we know that's not going to be the case. Hypocrites they are, I tell you. Hypocrites. Here's Mad Dog Christopher Russo. He hates the play.
Mad Dog, you good with this?
Oh, and I'm surprised because I know Goodell doesn't like the play. I hate the play. I don't like the play at all. It looks like rugby. It's difficult to ascertain where the forward progress is stopped. I hate the play. And I'm not anti-Philadelphia because I know they're not the only team that does it. I can't stand it. I don't think it's part of football. I can't stand the play. Hate it. And I'm surprised it passed. I have to admit, I'm surprised.
That was Christopher Mad Dog Russo on First Take. I don't have a problem with the tush push. I mean, I understand why people dislike the play. Like, part of sports is the surprise, the element of surprise. The Eagles offense, at times, it's not very surprising. I know exactly what they're about to do. But again, I don't think the rules need to be, hey, you guys are really good at something, so let's now say that you can't do it. No. Everybody in the league has the ability to run the same play the same kind of way. One team has developed it, and they're just simply better at it than everybody else. I don't think that is the framework for you to eliminate the play. I don't think that's fair to do of you. Obviously, there were enough teams that disagreed, and the tush push is going to be in what feels like it is going to be its final season in the National Football League. So that is one thing. Another thing that, man, I am happy, thrilled, delighted that we don't have to talk about. They're not going to change the NFL playoff rules. Thank you. So what they were contemplating, and at least the Detroit Lions threw out there, the Lions threw out, you still make the playoffs the same way that you make it in the NFL, and winning your division guarantees you a spot in the postseason, but does not guarantee you a home game in the playoffs. So all 7 teams from the AFC, all 7 teams from the NFC would make it, and then based off your record, tiebreakers, etc., That would then determine the seeding in the playoffs. That's not how it is right now. If you win one of the eight divisions, you are automatically one of the top four seeds in your conference. You automatically host a home playoff game. That's one of the benefits of winning your division. It should continue to be that way. If they're listening to us, the fans, we want to keep it this way. It should be a reward. It keeps you engaged. It keeps the intra-division matchups interesting. Intriguing. Yes, I'm happy that this was eventually taken off the table. I'm happy that we don't have to have this conversation any further. And I'm happy that the league is going to keep the playoffs, at least the structure of it, the format of it, exactly what we've seen so far. Good. This is the right thing to do. I like the postseason this way. If you win your division, I don't care how many games you won, you deserve to host a home playoff game. And yes, sometimes that means a team like Minnesota is going to have to go on the road in round one. And man, that's not fair. I'm sorry. You had a chance to host a home playoff game. Everybody knows the criteria. Everybody is signed up for this. You didn't do enough to host a home playoff game. I'm sorry. Go on the road. Get it that way. I don't have a problem with this. I'm happy. I'm very, very happy. Of all the conversations, of all the rule changes that were potentially thrown out there, I'm very, very thrilled to know that we are going to have the NFL playoff structure be the exact same for next year. Rob, do you want to comment on this before we get to the college football changes? We have the tush push that was upheld. We are going to have the tush push again next year, and we are going to have another season of the same playoff structure.
I'm actually surprised that you are so vocal about how you like the NFL structure the way it is. As an avid NBA fan like you are, the NBA just takes the best teams and seeds them each conference. There is no, hey, you won the Atlantic Conference, congratulations to the Celtics. That means the Knicks don't get any home court advantage. They don't do it that way. They just straight up say, hey, the best teams get to play the home game. I'm surprised that you don't want to see that in the NFL. And I know Minnesota is the most recent example, but there have been other times in NFL history where a team goes 12-4, 12-5, they lose their division, and now they have to play three road playoff games because some lowly, you know, schmucky team went 7-9 or 8-9 nowadays, and they get a home playoff game because they get rewarded by winning a bad division. I'm surprised someone who likes the NBA as much as you is so adamantly opposed to the idea the Lions are throwing out, because I don't think it's a bad idea. Now, you'd have to redo the scheduling matrix, and that would create a lot of problems in the NFL, but as far as pure seeding, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to make the pivot, but we won't talk about it because it didn't even make it out of committee. It didn't make it to a vote. But I'm surprised you're so adamantly opposed.
I would say trying to be more like the NBA regular season is not the way to go. I love the NBA. Trying to copy their regular season model, if you're the NFL, is not something that I would follow. There are things from the NBA I wish that the NFL would adopt, but making their regular season less important, making the divisional games less important, is not a model that I would follow. The NBA is just a different game. There's just more of an inventory. So I understand in some ways why the NBA has done it, but it just lessens the importance of some of the games. What the NBA needs is more importance for its regular season games, not less. The NFL, it works because every game means something. Every game matters. Every game is connected. And there is a structure within the larger picture. You don't have to be better. If you're the Patriots, you don't have to be better than the Chiefs. You don't have to be better than the Houston Texans. You simply have to be better than the other three teams that are in your division. And if you can figure out a way to be better than those other three teams, then you make the postseason automatically. You also have a chance to host a playoff game. That matters. That is important. That is a structure that I would like to keep. That is something that I'm very glad was moved off of the table, and I'm glad that we don't have to discuss that anymore in the National Football League. So that was the NFL playoff system. Let's get to the college football playoff system, because again, there's a lot of news right now happening in the world of football. So this just came in. They are making changes for the playoff this upcoming year. The top four seeds are going to get first-round byes, regardless if it wins a conference title. Conference champs will then get auto bids, but are seeded based on rankings. This will be the final year of the 12-team playoff. They're then going to a new structure, 14 or 16 after this year. So we're only going to have two seasons of this 12-team format. So you might be wondering, what does this mean in real sense? Well, last year, Texas and Penn State both would have received byes last year. Boise State, that was the 3 seed that made absolutely no sense to anybody, why Boise State automatically got a bye last year. Boise State would have gone from the 3 seed to the 9 seed. Arizona State would have gone from the 4th seed to the 11 seed. So if you go based off what happened, if you take this year's criteria for last year, this is how it would have gone last year. Indiana would have hosted Boise State. Notre Dame would have hosted Clemson. Ohio State would have hosted Arizona State. And Tennessee would have hosted SMU. That is how last year's postseason would have been. I think the team that would have benefited the most from this would have been Oregon. Remember, Oregon played Ohio State in the second round. In this scenario, they either would have played Indiana or Boise State. Certainly a much better situation to be in than what Oregon was in. I thought last year Oregon was the team that simply got the short end of the stick with the way that the seeding worked, but it made sense. It was your first year. You're trying to figure out a system that everybody is happy with, and I think we saw the flaws in how they wanted to do it last year. This is a lot closer to what I think it should be than based on last year. I'm sorry. Boise State was not one of the 4 best teams in college football last year. I don't know why we were treating them that way. I don't know why we were treating Arizona State that way last year either. So if you were telling me that Indiana's the 8 seed, Boise's the 9 seed, and now Arizona State and Clemson are the 11 and 12 seed, that's a lot closer to what I think it should have been. I love this change. I welcome this change. And if this is going to be our final year of the 12-team playoff, let's try to do it right. And let's try to have it be fair to the top 4 teams in college football, because I'm not sure if last year's system was fair to those teams.
So I'm like 80% of the way with you. I think last year's system was lunacy, and it, no disrespect to Boise State, we know Boise State was a good team. They had a top, 5 draft pick on and a 2nd place Heisman winner on their team. Boise State's a good team. Like, I don't think they were great, but they were good. So I like that we had a system that it's not penalizing them for playing in a group of five. What I don't like about this new system, and it's my one complaint, is that the top 4 don't have to win their conference. That feels to me like we are opening up for the SEC to have its first place and runner-up be in the top 4 because we just feel like they're the top 4. Like, you just told me with the NFL that winning your division has to matter. Now we're going to have a situation where Georgia wins the SEC. They beat Texas in the SEC title game. Both those teams then finish top 4. But I don't know. Let's just say K-State is, or Texas Tech are both trendy picks from the Big 12 this year. One of those teams wins the Big 12, but they're not in the top 4. They don't get a bye, but there's 2 SEC teams. I think conference championships have to matter. I like the idea of tweaking it so that we're not bending over backwards to make a group of 5 team get a bye if they're top 10, and that's hinky. But the idea that multiple conferences can have top 4 teams despite one of them not winning their division or winning the conference does feel a little icky to me.
Yeah, but I guess in this, though, and this is just where I think just structurally it's different than the NFL, is all these teams are not even. In the NFL, every team has the exact same rules. They have access to the same resources. Every team starts the year with the same amount of draft picks. Then it's based on how you maneuver those picks. Everybody goes through the same free agency process. Everybody has the same salary cap. In the NFL, it is designed where all 32 teams are operating on a level playing field. We all know that's not how college football is. Now, I'm with you. If you win the Big 12, it has to mean something. But I'm sorry. Last year's Big 12 winner was not better than Ohio State. I know Ohio State didn't win their league. Ohio State is a better team than Arizona State. They are a better team than some of those. We know it. We see it. So why can't we just have a playoff system, a playoff structure that, yes, if you win the Big 12, you automatically should qualify for the playoffs. We shouldn't have to argue that. We shouldn't have a scenario like what happened with Florida State a couple of years ago, where you win the ACC, but now you are outside of the mix for winning a championship. But I'm sorry, you just can't get me to pretend that Boise State, because they won their league, you can't get me to believe that they're better than Georgia that finished 2nd in the SEC. Maybe that is a bias that we have, and that is a bias that I can live with. But if Boise State and Georgia tomorrow played at a neutral site, Georgia would be a 16.5 point favorite. I have to factor in some of that when we are having these conversations about who should play where, at least in the first round. Now, after you get after that first round, we're now talking neutral sites the rest of the way. Now we're talking about Texas plays Arizona State at a neutral site. All right, that's fair then. Let the chips fall where they may. But if we are talking about how to navigate this thing, I'm sorry, last year it was seeded incorrectly. It never made sense how Oregon, who was the best team in college football, their reward for having a bye was to play the second best team in the Big Ten. That's not how the playoff system should funnel itself.
I just feel like it is a system that we have opened up to implicit bias, which has favored the SEC historically and is recently favoring the Big Ten.
Isn't that college football, unfortunately?
Because for your example, last year, for someone who always tells me the regular season in college football has to matter, remember in week 12 when Ohio State lost to Michigan? They didn't even play in their conference championship game because they lost. There has to be a punishment for that. It shouldn't be the committee thinks, listen, they were 10-2. They lost a tough one at home in a rivalry game. They lost to Oregon. So we're still going to have them as the sixth best team, despite the fact their record shows they're like the ninth best team. That regular season has to matter. And I feel like with college football, we just too often go by the eye test and the feel and, hey, what we believe as opposed to the numbers and the data. Last year, Ohio State, hey, if you don't want to be the five seed, or I guess, yeah, they're the five seed, and you want to be one of the top four teams, beat Michigan, because then you're playing in the Big Ten title game, and I will have here an argument for why you should be top four. But you didn't. I'm sorry. You dropped to five. Tennessee, you were the 12 seed. Well, hold on. We played in the toughest conference in America. Win more games. That should be how it works, not the committee just picking, hey, strength of schedule, we feel like this team had a harder run.
Yeah, and this is a fair argument. CDOT, it sounds like your argument against college football goes against what you think the NFL playoff should be, because the NFL has a structure that the college football doesn't have. Like, yes, I think that college football should operate in a way that makes sense for college. In the NFL, everybody's system is an algorithm. You don't get to control who you play in the NFL. The Chiefs' schedule is simple. You play these teams in your conference. You play this AFC conference. You play this NFC conference. You then play the teams that won these other leagues. We don't ever complain about schedule in the NFL. We complain about schedule in the NCAA all the time. There is a way to manipulate your schedule in college football to make the postseason that you simply can't do in the NFL. You can play nobody purposely in the non-con. And if you get the right year where you're Indiana and you don't play anybody that matters last year, then yeah, you can make it. So yes, how I think you should make the playoffs in the NFL and what I think the reward should be for doing something is different in college football, because in the NFL, the New York Giants and the Jacksonville Jaguars have the exact same chance at winning. They have access to the same talent. Vanderbilt and Ohio State do not have the same chance of winning. They don't. They don't get the same caliber of players. They don't spend the same amount on their resources. They are not even in that sense. So yes, I do think how the two teams should operate are drastically different. And I guess maybe for me, what I would like to eliminate is I want to eliminate teams like Indiana to the best of my ability. And maybe I'll never be able to eliminate Indiana from making the postseason. There's just always going to be a year in which an Indiana team makes it. But last year, Indiana at really no point last year proved to us that they were one of the 12 best teams in college football. They just had one of the 12 best schedules last year in college football. And anytime we saw Indiana play a team that remotely looked like a playoff team, they got their doors blown off them last year.
But didn't that happen in the NFL too? Like, you're right. Indiana can control it. They put, JMU and Tulsa on their schedule. But the same way the NFL is an algorithm, sometimes you spin the wheel and you get the AFC South as your opponent in the cross division thing, and you get to feast on the Titans and the Jags.
You're
like,
right.
It's the same luck factor, and I don't hear you saying, like, we got to keep the Broncos out of the playoffs. It's the same.
Yeah, you're right, but the Broncos played the Chiefs twice. They played the Chargers twice last year. Now, they lost those games. Yeah, sure. But these were Indiana's wins last year. Indiana beat Florida International, Western Illinois, UCLA, Charlotte, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, Purdue. That's not a playoff team. We know that's not a playoff team. They didn't beat a single ranked opponent the entire year. What's their best win last year? No, that team's not a playoff team. I'm sorry. They were never tested. And then the one time they were tested when they played Ohio State, they got their doors blown off. They lost 38-15 and they scored a last second touchdown. So they didn't get beat by 30. No, I want to keep these teams out of the playoff as much as we can. We got Aaron Ladd coming up at the top of the hour. We'll give you guys an update on what's happening in New Orleans next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. We were talking a little college football. They are changing the playoff seeding. So they are going to let the 12 best teams in. They're going to seed them accordingly, and it's not going to be based on what happened last year. Last year, Arizona State won the Big 12, so they got a top 4 seed. Boise State won their conference. They got the 3rd seed. That would not have happened under this new structure. Boise State would have had the 9th seed last year. And Arizona State would have had the 11th seed, and that is how things would have gone. Someone on the text line sent in, CDOT, you're going down a slippery slope of we think over what you accomplished. This is a very slippery slope, and these are the kind of changes that will tank football. I would just like to point out that the history of college football is arguing what you think. I'm not saying you were wrong, but if you're not willing to argue what you think in college football, that is ain't the sport for you. There was a time there where we let the sports writers determine who the national champion was. having a playoff and deciding it on the field is actually a relatively new concept in college football, like the last 20 years. Before then, 1998 with Michigan, Michigan played in one league, Nebraska played in another league. There was no way for them to play each other on the field, so both of them shared the national championship, and then we argued who we thought was the better of the two teams. So I just think that this is just what college football is as a sport. Some of it is annoying. Some of it is, to me, part of the pageantry and what makes college football so different and so unique than the other ones. I certainly would love for more uniformity in college football, but I just don't think that's what that sport will ever be. I think we're always going to argue this conference, this perception, this thing versus this thing. It's just been a foundational principle. If you like college football, that's just not going anywhere.
I do think it's fair, though, and you're right. Maybe it's not going anywhere. I do think it's fair for the texter and people like me to want to create rules that eliminate it, though. Like, yes, me and you agree. Indiana probably wasn't a playoff team last year.
The only way to do that, though, and I'm sorry to cut you off. The only way to do that, then,
is to break away and make their own league.
And is to have a playoff within your conference.
Which I'd be a proponent
of. You have to win the SEC. You have to win the SEC, and these are the only teams that can be. So we need to make it more like the NFL. We don't argue in the NFL why teams make the playoffs over other teams. The AFC has a clear structure of how they do it. They have a clear structure of how they determine it. The thing is, there is no clear structure. None. There's no clear structure in college football in how we determine who's good, who's not good. So some of it is just, it is unavoidable based on how college football is currently structured. We got Aaron Ladd set to join us coming up in just a little bit. Rob, do we have new music for this? We have music. I told you guys, every day until all of them are captured, we are going to keep you updated on what is happening in New Orleans with the 10 inmates who have escaped prison. Hit me, Rob. Oh, my goodness. You kind of threw me for a loop there. I wasn't ready for all of this. All right. As you guys know, there were 10 inmates that escaped in New Orleans. Well, out of those 10, 5 of them have been captured. So 50% of them are back in custody and now going to maximum security jails. There are still 5 people that are out there on the loose. There was a video yesterday that got circulated. There were 3 of them still together, and they were walking around the streets of New Orleans. So 3 of them are still within the city limits. So you would have to think that their clock is ticking. They said they got 200 men working around the clock to find these 5 individuals. Your chances of winning this hide-and-seek game are not very high, especially when you're doing things like this. One of the inmates got into an Uber. Listen to this.
I get this, including a local rideshare driver who tells us that he believes he gave a ride to one of those inmates, Litton Van Buren.
WDSU reporter Shea O'Connor is live from the jail with the message to other rideshare drivers. It's a story you'll see only on WDSU. Shea?
So I actually just spoke with that rideshare driver who tells me he's still in shock by what he saw and what he heard early yesterday morning during his last drive of the night. Take a listen. Now, picking up a man from a home on North Galvis in the Ninth Ward and bringing that person to Off Morrison in New Orleans East, he says the drive was booked by a woman. When the man entered the car, the driver tells me he tried to hide his face. He also recalls the man being on the phone with a woman who kept asking where he was in a panic. That driver tells me he was able to get a good look through his front mirror of the man who sat in his back seat. Today, that driver tells me the passenger was Linton Van Buren, one of those escaped inmates.
All right. You can fade the music down. We got it. All right, this is important. Now, I don't know what kind of duress this man was under, and I've never driven Uber before, so I'm not here to pass any judgments. We all have gotten in an Uber or called an Uber, we've all been in this situation. Now, if I'm the Uber driver and I'm expecting Alicia to show up and Aaron shows up and is walking and moving funny, I don't know if I'm finishing that ride. Now, I don't know what Aaron is guilty of. He's behind me. He's on the phone. He's trying to hide his face. He fidgeted. I'm trying to leave this ride with my life. But if I'm expecting to pick up Alicia and Alicia ain't nowhere to be found, and it's this dude that I did not agree to give a ride, how do you handle it in that situation? Now, it sounds like this man did what you're supposed to do. You alerted authorities. Hey, something funny. He kind of looks like the guy that I've been seeing in the picture. I think maybe, just maybe, this is the guy, and they figured it out. So I think we're getting real close. I'm telling you, we are 5-10 down, 5 in. The fifth inmate got captured. They just arrested two women for helping the fugitives. You know they're about to give up some information because they were aiding and helping two of the people escape. So we're getting closer and closer to figuring out all of this and getting all of these people back behind bars. But that is today's update of what is happening in New Orleans for the 10 escaped inmates that are now walking the streets of New Orleans.
I feel like outside of being in the Uber, this guy's moving sloppy. You're having your girlfriend, significant other, girl you like, whatever term, get you an Uber, and then you're sitting in the back hiding your face, being all weird and acting paranoid. That feels like you're making a mistake. I'm sorry that you're out of jail, and I'm sorry you're, you know, the girl you like is two blocks away from the jail. She's dead to you now. You have to get as far away from New Orleans as possible. You can't get in contact with her and have her buy you an Uber. Too many things can go wrong. Too many things can get you caught. You survived Uber One. No more Uber forever for this guy. It feels like these inmates, the more it goes on, the less I'm surprised they're inmates because they do a lot of sloppy work ever since getting out of jail.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't know what you do in that situation if you're the Uber driver. I mean, I don't think you really have a choice. I mean, I read the charges on some of these individuals. I mean, we ain't talking about no petty crimes and no petty thieves here. I mean, we're talking about real. I mean, in that situation, your number one goal is to live, to keep on moving. You got to assume all of these people are armed and dangerous. You don't know what that man in the backseat's going to do. Have absolutely no clue. But I'm saying the guy did the right thing, though. Something was a little bit off. He took him where he's supposed to go. He instantly alerted the authorities and is now helping to try to bring these people to justice. So he did what he was supposed to do. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Aaron Ladd. He'll join us in studio. We'll catch up with Aaron. Aaron's been having a great time in Atlanta. There's so much to talk about with him. We'll catch up with him next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.